Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 925, like the whole part about Brock being fully healthy is the hard part. What will that actually look like? Will he ever be fully healthy? I don't know where this happened or if this is the way most people think, but I'm getting the sense that a lot of people have decided that turf toe is akin to like tearing your ACL. Or,
well, I mean, Patrick Willis, his career ended with turf toe. And
correct.
Joe Burrow, now his season ended with turf toe.
Correct.
So there's that.
There is. But there's levels to it.
Yep.
And Joe's is very, very severe. And Brock's was not thought to be at that level at all. And just because it ended Patrick Willis's career, that's sort of like, that pushes aside the thousands of people who have had turf toe and come back in 3 weeks.
Sure.
Yep. And then played football for the rest of their career.
Well, he came back in 2 weeks, and he got hurt again.
Yes.
So I do think that's part of the worry and the conversation. And my curiosity and my question is really more about where they are. They're 4-1. Mac Jones is 3-0. So does the 4-1 start give you more of an ability to slow play what Brock Purdy's going to be? This is not a Brock versus Mac. This is a Brock versus 4-1. If you were 1-4, you might be thinking about, oh God, we got to rush him back. It's a must win in Tampa Bay. For me, the fact that you're 4-1 makes it a little bit more likely that you can slow play Brock and, you know, have him come back when he's really, really, really ready.
I'll buy that. Yeah, I'll buy that. I still don't know exactly how you're supposed to know when he's really, really, really ready. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like professional people decided that he was ready 2 weeks ago. And
unprofessional people thought that was too soon.
Right. But like, I don't even necessarily think that the people who now think that they were right were right. Like, this is always going to be a moving target. And just because somebody re-injured something, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, I'd love a doc's thought on this, but if you re-injure something, does that automatically mean you rushed it? Or does that just mean you played football
right. And
you got kind of unlucky? Like, I think anything can be, quote, fully healthy, and then also you can kind of re-injure it. I bet you, you're actually a great person to ask.
Oh, boy.
Well, have you had anything that kind of got re-injured through your life?
Yeah, my torn labrum. I had my shoulder. I was playing soccer on a hardwood floor in my fraternity house.
And oh, that's a good idea.
I landed back on my shoulder. I was like, ooh, that really hurt.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't know what it was. And then, I don't know, 11 more times, my shoulder would come out of the socket.
Yeah.
And then finally, it went out of the socket and it wouldn't go back in. And at that point, it was like, oh boy.
We got a real injury.
We're going to Marin General.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, re-injury, it happens. And, you know, I'm worried about George Kittle with his hamstring. And, you know, when he comes back.
Those are tough.
Right.
Yes.
Trades are hard.
Trades are hard.
And he probably won't play at Tampa, but he might play the week after. And when he plays
trades
the week after, does that mean that if he gets hurt again, that they rushed him back?
Well, this is going to sound silly and it's meant to, but like, did Nick Bosa re-injure himself? Did they rush him back? I know that it's been
eight years
since he tore that ACL.
Right.
But can you confidently tell me that ACL would have torn either way? Or was it weakened because of what happened 8 years ago?
Right.
And now it tore again. So clearly rushed him back.
8 years later, they rushed him back.
I mean, but can you?
You need to wait 9 years.
Like
I'm with you, Mark.
Right? Like if somebody's running around out there and the doctor's like, it's pretty stable. And you're like, it feels pretty good. It feels good. Okay. Then you're back. And then you re-injure it.
Right.
I don't know that that means they rushed him. But I'm with you that, yes, there's two things that happen with each passing win. Two things, I think. One, the pressure to rush either quarterback back lessens.
Yep.
And the pressure rises on John Lynch to go get a pass rusher.
No doubt. No doubt.
Those are the two things that happen with each win.
And you watch the Bengals yesterday, and my goodness, oh, the Bengals. And
Done.
Beyond done. Yeah. Like, so done that if I'm a Bengal fan, I'm thinking, all right, Jamar, you go ahead and, like, get your sweatsuit on, and you don't play anymore because we're so done.
Don't do that to the fantasy community. That would really shake people
Well,
up.
I don't have him, so no, whatever. Okay. I mean, he went number one overall in some leagues, I'm sure.
Yes.
But honestly, like, the more that this goes on, and I love Jake Browning. I don't know him personally, but I covered him in high school, and I'm pulling for him. But my goodness, Cincinnati, you are beyond done. Like, Baltimore's done-ish, and you and I talked about this on the thread. About how done Baltimore is. If he misses two more games and they lose two more games, you might start thinking about that for Lamar.
Depends on what Pittsburgh's doing. But like the Browns and Bengals are two of the other teams in the division. Sure. They're not going to go anywhere. So
Cleveland's sneaky, not bad.
You might win the division with six wins this year.
My God.
You go 6-11 and be like, in we're hosting
division,
round one.
You normally go 9-8 and you take third.
I know. And Pittsburgh is fine. I think they're what? They're 3-1, I think. So they're in decent shape, but I don't think that's a great football team by any stretch. So I just don't think anybody's gonna run away. Therefore, I think Baltimore, at least for another week or two, is still alive but they've got some tough games coming up too. So
all four teams with a negative point differential,
right,
including Pittsburgh,
right.
And I guess I think better about Cleveland, assuming that they won yesterday and the wake and take. But as I texted the group, my Minnesota -3.5 stone cold lock. I don't even know how they won that game. Quite frankly,
neither do they.
Right,
neither do they.
Cleveland's 1-4, and they are so much better than that.
Well, they have a good defense.
Well, and Dylan Gabriel, and I don't want to shout out Oregon because I hate Mark Grandy still.
Did you watch? Did you wake and watch?
I watched a lot of it.
He
for a first ever start.
Oh, great.
Across the pond?
Yeah, but
not bad. Pretty good.
I thought it felt like Dylan was playing football to not turn the ball over, which is not a bad way to play in your first ever game. It's not a bad way to play.
Yep.
But, like, man. The wide receivers are never going to touch the ball. Let's put it that way. Dylan's one of those QBs where, you know what I mean?
Who has Njoku in our pool?
Right, Njoku and Fannin, they both scored.
Right.
Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to hand the ball off to this kid, Judkins, who I really like.
That's my guy.
He's going to throw the ball to him out of the backfield. He's going to throw the ball to the tight ends. And then on 3rd and 8, he'll look at one of the receivers, throw it 5 yards over his head out of bounds, punt the ball, and hope that... That his defense causes a turnover and you can kick a field goal.
That's what they do in general. Yeah,
it's not a criticism. Yep. He did a great job of not throwing picks and losing the game. But you know, I mean, they're not gonna ever score 25 points. Yeah, yeah.
You're right. But anyway, I think the bigger picture is what we talked about before about, you know, like systems and constructs. And the Niners with the backup, he's 3-0, and their system, their constructure is so good that, you know, even if you had to go to Adrian Martinez, you wouldn't automatically think that they're going to lose.
I mean, well, you'd at least just kind of go into it with curiosity.
Yep.
I can't tell you that the guy's no good because I've never seen him play football. Who knows what he would go out there and do? I'm not itching to find out,
right?
But who knows? 888-957-9570. Let's start taking some calls, okay? Is that where some of you are? Is there anyone out there who thinks the Niners should start Mac Jones even when Brock Purdy is fully healthy? Whatever fully healthy means. I'll acknowledge that's a fluid at best. Jonathan's in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Hey, at the very least, he needs to get an extended look. You know, because the way he played, bunch of backups on the road, one. And not only that, like I said in my previous call, let Kyle Shanahan's play calling speak for itself. He actually trusts this guy. You know, he's letting him throw the ball all around the yard. And he's the guy who could make them. And that's big on the Kyle Shanahan scheme. I mean, I told you guys that for the first time I was looking at the quarterback, and this guy's actually letting Kyle Shanahan have all available plays on game day. And also I want to say is it's also because I have yet to see a clean game from Brock Purdy, guys. I mean, Dibs, you could probably go on a deep dive after I hang up and look up when was the last game Brock Purdy had a clean game. Go Niners!
Okay, Jonathan. Okay. What does he mean? A turnover-free game?
That's what I think he means. What we mean by a clean game? I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to ever be like no incompletes and I mean no mistakes.
Right. Yeah, this is a fascinating thing. So Jonathan says that Mac Jones needs an extended look. I'm nowhere near the idea of Mac Jones playing or starting if Brock Purdy is fully healthy. And I'm glad Jonathan brought this up because I'd like to push back on this point that I hear a lot of people make. Kyle clearly trusts Mac Jones because they're throwing it all over the yard. 49 pass attempts, Dibs.
Yeah.
Okay, just my eyes, my way of thinking. I wonder if anybody has acknowledged the idea that maybe the 49ers are throwing the ball so much this year because they can't run it.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows that. And so that's why they're throwing the ball. The concept that Kyle Shanahan would work with Brock Purdy for 4 years, sign him to a $265 million extension, and then bring in Mac Jones as a backup and have him play, and I won't even give you three because it happened in the third game. So have him play twice. He plays two football games. He wins in New Orleans, and then he pulls out a 16-15 like wonky ball against the Arizona Cardinals. The concept that means now that Kyle Shanahan trusts Mac Jones in a way that he does not trust Brock Purdy is pretty far-fetched to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty far-fetched.
For sure.
I think a lot of you have gone on a little storybook journey with that take.
And the take that you started with is the actual factual take, which is they're throwing it a ton, not because of Mac or Brock or Adrian or Nick or CJ, I mean, whoever they would have, they would be doing the same thing. It's because they cannot run the ball. And right now this year, and I know not every team's played five times, but Christian McCaffrey is number two in the league in rushing attempts.
Yep.
Number one is Jonathan Taylor. He leads in carries. He leads in yards. He has six touchdowns.
Right.
And if you want to go to success percentage, which is based on down and distance and how you do based on every down, I won't bore you with the numbers of what makes it a successful run. McCaffrey is 36th in success. He's number two in attempts. He's number 36 in success. So they keep running it because they have to, but they don't want to run it a lot because they can't.
They ran it. They threw the ball in Seattle on opening day 35 times in a low-scoring, close game. That normally would call for a lot of running, but they didn't because they couldn't.
Right.
Everybody, Purdy, Mac, whoever, they're all this year throwing the ball a lot more than we're used to under Kyle Shanahan. And to me, it's a function of one thing and one thing only. This has nothing to do with who Kyle trusts. He put both these guys out there. If he had eyes for Mac 5 years ago, okay.
Right.
He had eyes for Mac this offseason as a backup. He's got eyes for Purdy. They drafted him. They signed him. They've made him the starter. All of these things that have happened that show support. Support is not being shown with play call numbers. Kyle Shanahan's trying to get first downs on every play, and he is assessing what's the best way to go about doing it. And anybody with eyes can see that running the ball right now ain't doing it.
It's not.
So you throw the ball.
Exactly. You throw it. And if you look at the running backs or all the ball carriers who have had enough carries to qualify, quote unquote, for stats. He's 40th out of 44 in yards per attempt. And he's right behind Saquon Barkley, which is interesting. Saquon's at 3.2 on the year.
Yeah,
McCaffrey's at 3.1. Yep. You got James Conner below him, Zach Charbonnet, and Chase Brown, who, you know, Cincinnati, God love them, they can't do anything. No. They can't throw it. They can't run it. So that's the company that McCaffrey's keeping. He's down there among the other teams that absolutely cannot run the ball.
888-957-9570 is the number here on Willard and Dibbs, talking out the situation that clearly everybody kind of wants to figure out, and that is the quarterback thing. I know Adam Schefter even had to, I don't want to say had to, but he came out today with a public statement with regard to the quarterback position. This is on the Pat McAfee show, actually. Take a listen to Adam Schefter.
Personally, he's been unbelievable, and I think people were surprised at how well he's played, but the environment has elevated his performance, and there aren't a lot of people who would have thought on Thursday Night Football in front of Big Wit and Fitzy there that Mac Jones would have led that team to the victory that he did. But they've rebuilt him, they've reprogrammed him, and he's playing the way that they thought he would when he left Alabama, and they considered taking him. Like they initially traded up with the idea that they were going to pick him and fell in love with Trey Lance along the process. Now Mac is back there playing exceptionally well. No, I still think it is absolutely Brock Purdy's job. I don't even think it's a question. Mac Jones did say the right things because I think that's the real situation right now where he's going to be in a situation where he's called upon when Brock's not playing and he'll step in and play the way he did. It was fantastic. And he's got a two-year contract. You know, so he's going to be there for a couple of years unless all of a sudden he's got value. But Brock Purdy, they just paid, and he's going to be the guy.
Okay, there it is from Adam Schefter. Did you even hear... I loved McAfee under his breath. Schefter's like, this is Brock Purdy's job.
Right.
And McAfee goes, of course.
Right.
Of course. Like, of course.
Yeah, of course. And he's going to be there. He's got a two-year deal, unless he has value,
yep.
Which is what Adam said. And, you know, the more this happens and the more teams start to look at their situation, he might have actual value to another team.
Possible.
That might be looking for somebody who... you know, can come in and be a placeholder.
There you go. It's
like Minnesota
possible.
Last year.
Sam
Darnold was a placeholder.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe, yeah. But they were able to sign Sam to do that at what is sort of like if starter money and backup money had a baby, and then you bring in somebody to do that. But that's as a free agent. Mac Jones is not a free agent.
Right.
So now a team is going to have to not only love Mac so much. Would you do it for a placeholder if you've got to give up draft capital, which is what you would have to do to get a hold of Mac Jones?
Yeah.
I think everybody should just sit with the likelihood that Mac Jones can be on the Niners again next year. And guess what? Yay, Niners!
Right?
That's awesome! This is incredible! And this is the part that keeps getting swept under the rug. The 49ers have a depth piece at the most important position in sports, and it absolutely bolsters their chances to win football games throughout the year. Because now if their quarterback gets hurt, they can stay afloat. They're 4-1. Go check in on the other quarterback injuries. How the Ravens doing? How the Bengals doing?
Yep.
How's it going? Cooked.
Not great.
And it's the same
Not
thing.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, that's how it felt for the Niners last year. So I know nobody wants to let things be exactly what they are, but that's what this is. Brock Purdy's the quarterback, the Niners are good, and now they've got somebody who, if Brock needs to miss a few games, can keep your season afloat. And who knows, if Brock gets a really bad injury, maybe Mac can even take you somewhere kind of, sort of special.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if anybody, is anybody's eyes telling them, oh, yeah, they can win a Super Bowl? Like, good Lord, I'm not there. I'm not there at all. But if Mac had to start the rest of the year... could you still, I don't know, maybe work your way into being a playoff team in the NFC?
Yes,
you probably
of
could.
Course.
You'd have a shot. You'd have a shot. I mean, these games are all razor thin.
Right.
I don't know which way they'd all go, but he can keep you in the game.
Of course, and if you think about what you're going to get back, and forget the trade deadline, but you're going to get back George Kittle, maybe not Sunday, but probably the week after that.
Yep.
Brandon Ayuk, you would assume at some point he gets to play football again, and you know, you got DeMarcus Robinson, and he sure looks to be and I was watching a little bit more of the cut-ups. Your guy, JT O'Sullivan, in the QB school.
Yeah.
I was watching all of his stuff on Mac Jones, and the more you watch DeMarcus Robinson, he is a good wide receiver. He's not great. He's a good, though.
I really like him.
And when you get Pearsall and Juwan, yes. And
maybe Brandon at some point.
And who knows? Yeah, and you get Kittle back, and Tonjes already is a touchdown machine. So you start to think about
trade for that pass rusher too. Trade for that pass rusher.
Sure. I mean, yes. It would be great because right now you don't really pressure the other quarterback very often, and it'd be cool if you did. But through all that, you're 4-1, and the one thing that I think you can bank on if he's healthy is Mac Jones is a
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Real NFL quarterback.
Of you course. Know? He was already, like, look, you watched him in Jacksonville last year, and I would already say, well, it's like a better than most backup. It's a better than most backup.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at him right now and saying there's a franchise QB. I don't think that. It's way too early to think that. It's way too early to think that, and these games have been way too close. This is like, to me, emotions battle one another. I think it's funny. I think it's funny that people would go to bed Thursday night and be like, I can't believe they won that game. That was miraculous. All of the things that had to happen absolutely perfectly, including a fumble at the one and a 4th-and-1. I can't believe the Niners won that game. And in the next breath, they're like, I think Mac Jones is a franchise QB.
Right.
Well, if he was a franchise QB, you'd have been up by 13. Maybe. That's not the way the flow of these games look. This is phenomenal what he's doing. But that's not what these games have been. These games have not been like, wow, the quarterback is slicing the other team and dicing the other team.
Right.
I think we should give him $265 million. That's not what it is. And that is actually almost non-existent in the league. The only QBs who do that are so important to their team that when they get hurt, the season's over.
Yeah, and the only teams that have done that, the slicing and the dicing, Indianapolis, Buffalo, yep. who lost last night, yep. and Detroit. Like, those are the only teams that have sliced and or diced, and yet the Niners are also among the 4-1 group with them.
Jared Goff's another great example. That was another guy that a team gave up on, and the world was kind of like, you're not very good. And now here we are.
Daniel Jones. On a one-year deal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.